ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते राधनाथ स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताक स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So today we will do the conclusion of Sri Jagannath Ashtakam. We will read the last verse, the 8th verse of Sri Jagannath Ashtakam today. And this Jagannath Ashtakam, as you all know, has been written by Sri Adi Shankaracharya. And beautiful 8 verses that we will be concluding in today's session. Here's the last verse of Sri Jagannath Ashtakam.
Hara Tvam Samsara Dhruta Tataram Param Surapate. Hara Tvam Papanam Gnitatim Aparam Yadavapate. Ahadinenatheni Hitacharano Nishchitam Idam. Jagannath Swami Nayana Pathagami Bhavatame.
Translation: O Lord of the demigods, please quickly remove this useless material existence I am undergoing. O Lord of the Yadus, please destroy this vast shoreless ocean of sin. Alas, this is certain Lord Jagannath bestows his lotus feet upon those who feel themselves fallen and have no other shelter in this world but him. May that Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. Mukham karoti vachalam pangur langayate girim yat kripata maham vande shri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya ishwaram. Hari Om Tat Sat. So, in this last verse, you know, we should always remember one thing, that these different Jagannath Ashtakam, be it any other Ashtakam, Damodar Ashtakam, Radhika Ashtakam, Radhika Stava, or, you know, Purush Ashtakam, any of these Ashtakams glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are in the form of a very beautiful prayer. You know, sometimes, when we come in front of the deity, when we come in front of the Lord in the temple, we don't know what to pray, or we don't know how to pray, rather. Generally, what we are taught is, O Lord, please give us our daily bread. That's a general appeal that we always do. Or when we come in front of the Lord in the temple, we say, oh, I'm going through this trouble, I'm going through that trouble, please save me, please help me. Or we may be, you know, when we come in front of the Lord, we actually just put our hands behind our back pocket, we take out our wish list. And then we read our wish list to the Lord saying, Dhanam Dehi, Rupam Dehi, Jasham Dehi, that give me wealth, give me this, give me that, give me all, everything. So this is the general kind of prayer that we all are accustomed to, or generally sometimes we are brought up with. But Srila Prabhupada, he always said that how would Krishna feel if this is all we are asking from him? If we just keep telling Krishna, oh, please give us our daily bread. Oh, my dear Lord, please give us our daily bread. So Krishna will say, are I'm giving daily bread even to the, you know, in the Amazonian jungles, to the elephants who eat, you know, 100 pounds of food every day. I'm supplying food to even them. Why won't I supply food to you? So now it's like, you know, Srila Prabhupada would give the analogy that if we go to our father or to our mother every day and say, you'll give me lunch today, no? Please, you'll give me dinner today, no? I'm assuring you, you're assuring me that you'll give me dinner, you'll give me lunch, you'll give me breakfast. How will the parents feel? There are certain things that are, you know, Krishna is there to take care of us. So Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, we should ask something which is worthwhile of Krishna, something that is worthwhile of Krishna's stature, something that is worthwhile that we really need from Krishna. What is it that we really need? All of us are looking for one thing, which is happiness. We are all struggling for happiness, from an ant up to the highest, you know, living entity who is Lord Brahma. All of us are in search or in pursuit of happiness. We are looking for, you know, happiness. But we are looking in the wrong places. That's another story in itself. But how can we get everlasting happiness? How can we pray in such a way that it is pleasing to Krishna and it is completely pleasing and satisfying to us? And at the same time, making us happy also. So the answer is right in front of us. Simply by, you know, the acharyas have actually spoon-fed us. They have said that, you know, they know that we have such a, you know, poor fund of intelligence. We've got such a poor fund of knowledge. So they have given us these beautiful ashtakams, these beautiful bhajans, these beautiful stotras, that just by repeating them, we are attracting the mercy of Krishna. We are getting the mood with which we should actually approach the Lord with so much humility. With, you know, just by repeating these statements, even though we are not feeling genuinely humble, someday or the other we will develop genuine humility. That is the hope. That is our only source of survival, actually. Otherwise, there's no hope. We just don't have any hope. So similarly, when we repeat these beautiful, you know, verses that have been given by our acharyas, it is making us feel humble in front of the Lord. Like this last verse, that please quickly remove this useless material existence I am undergoing. Haratvam samsara drutatara masaran surapate. O Lord of the demigods, you are surapate. You are the master or the Lord of all the suras, of all the devatas. So my dear Lord Jagannath, your position is something that is uncompromising. You have got the absolute, you know, sovereignty. I'm appealing to that position of yours. And you have the only potency, you're the only one with that potency who can remove me, and not just remove me in your own sweet time. I want you to remove me quickly. Quickly remove me from this useless material existence that I'm undergoing. Hey Yadava, hey Krishna, please destroy this vast, shoreless ocean of sins. Why shoreless? Because our sins have no end. Because every moment, we've not only committed so many sins in our past, and we're continuing to commit sins even now. So there is no end to the kind of sinful activities that we are performing at every moment of our life. So therefore, it is said that it's an ocean of sinful activities that we are recurring. And there's no shore to it. There's no limit. There is no boundary in it. It is just vast ocean, oceans and oceans, just water everywhere, just sins everywhere. That is our condition. Alas, Lord Jagannath, it is certain that he bestows his lotus feet upon those who feel themselves fallen and have no shelter in this world but him. So when we really feel that genuine humility, you know, sometimes we may not feel that genuine humility. You know, this was a point that we were discussing in our last session, that how do we know that whether we are acting enthusiastically, like Srila Prabhupada said, that if you are not feeling enthusiastic, then act enthusiastic. If you are not being, you know, not feeling like being humble, at least act like being humble. Then the question asked was, then isn't that duplicity? Isn't that cheating? Well, it depends on the consciousness that we are doing with. Are we wanting to be humble so that others will glorify me and say, oh, look, this person is so humble. This person is so, you know, he's like, it just melts in the ground. Such a great person this is. If we want people to glorify us, if that is our, you know, motivation to act humbly, then we will not go anywhere. We will never develop genuine humility. But if our acting humble is for the purpose to attract Krishna's mercy, it's for the purpose to say to Krishna that, Krishna, I genuinely don't feel humble now, but I know that this humility alone will please you. That you are pleased with the sincere efforts that I will put in. So I'm sincerely wanting to attract your mercy, Krishna. So please, please allow me to be humble. Just like when we pick up our japamala every day in the morning, it's not that we are thinking that, yes, today I'm going to chant, and therefore I'm picking up my beads and I'm starting to chant. It's not that easy. We have to be allowed to chant the holy name. And by the mercy of Krishna, when Krishna is pleased by our sincere efforts in devotional service, then Krishna allows us, he awards us the opportunity to chant. Otherwise, the bead bag will be hanging in our door knob for eternity, and we will not even have the urge to even touch our bead bag.
Please mute the phone. Hare Krishna, Dhanwad.
So that is how Krishna's services are, that we really have to be allowed to perform services to Krishna, including our japa. Our japa can be challenged at times, that we don't feel like chanting our rounds. But we do it out of force. We force ourselves to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra because we know that we have promised our spiritual master, that we've promised them that we will chant. So although we've got no taste, at least I can say that for myself, that I've got no taste for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but still, because I have promised my spiritual master, somehow or the other I'm allowed to pick up the holy, you know, to pick up my japa bag and to pick up my japa mala and to start chanting the holy names. That is a mercy from Krishna. But sometimes if our, you know, if our humility is on the level of just to attract others' praises, just to attract others' attention, then, you know, the bead bag will be standing over there for years together, accumulating dust, accumulating so many other things, but not our fingers going inside that japa bag. So we must be so mindful that what is the intent with which we are, you know, presenting ourselves before Krishna. That intent is what Krishna is really looking at. That's why Krishna is called Bhava Grahi Janardhana. that Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana, that he sees our bhava. He doesn't really see what activities we are doing. And therefore, for that reason, Srila Prabhupada very aptly named our organization International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not Krishna activities. Everything is in our consciousness. You know, in this regard, I'm always reminded of a very funny joke. Pardon me to, you know, talk about this joke, but there is a, in my initial days of Krishna consciousness, I remember I was 11, and in those days, you know, there was this release of this joke book called as Goloka joke book. You know, there were so many jokes in there which are spiritual in nature. So this is one from there, this particular one. So I'd like to share it with all of you. So there was once a new devotee who joined the temple. His name was Bhakta Fred. And when he joined the temple, he, you know, the temple always, you know, has a strict regime for new bhaktas, you know, especially the morning program. It is uncompromising that everyone has to come for Mangalarti, then chant their rounds, then attend Darshanarti, then do Guru Puja, then attend Bhagavatam class, and then take morning breakfast prasad. So this is the morning regime, the morning, you know, program that Srila Prabhupada has given. So this Bhakta Fred, he had recently joined the temple, and he was very enthusiastic in attending the morning program. So the temple commander, who takes care of, you know, all these new bhaktas, he was very happy with Bhakta Fred. So one day, during Bhagavatam class, the commander noticed that Bhakta Fred is not sitting there in the audience. So then the commander, you know, looked first in the brahmachari ashram, that is Bhakta Fred sleeping, is he okay, is he well or not? So he came into the ashram, he saw Bhakta Fred is not there. So then he went out into the temple grounds and he started shouting, Bhakta Fred, Bhakta Fred, where are you? Where are you? So then, you know, he slowly came near the Goshala area where the cow barn is. And he came there to the Goshala and he saw that his Bhakta Fred, you know, the sun, the morning sun was nicely up. There was a very nice haystack, you know, for the cows to eat hay. So Bhakta Fred was nicely, you know, laying down on the haystack, and he was nicely basking in the fresh morning sun. Like this, he had his eyes closed, and he was, you know, basking in the morning sun. So this temple commander got really angry, and he said, Bhakta Fred, there is Srimad Bhagavatam class going on in the temple room. What are you doing here in the haystack? So Bhakta Fred, you know, immediately got up and he said, Prabhu, what I thought is that it is better for me to sit here on the haystack, basking in the sun and think about the Bhagavatam class, but rather than sit in the Bhagavatam class and think about the haystack. So, you know, it is all in the consciousness. Although physically, you know, Bhakta Fred was on the haystack, but he was thinking of Srimad Bhagavatam class. He said it was better than sitting in the Bhagavatam class, not listening to the Bhagavatam class, but thinking about the haystack. So it's a very crude joke, but again, it goes to explain that what is the importance of really having our consciousness, you know, clear when we are doing particular services. That while we are in the temple, while we are, you know, on the altar serving the Lord, while we are in the temple room doing other services with other devotees, it's very important for us to be in the moment and to also think in our consciousness that these activities are meant for the pleasure of Krishna. That Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. That Krishna is seeing how we are responding to each and every situation that, you know, is presented in front of us. Krishna is a witness. He is sakshi to all of this. And therefore, when we are having, you know, even if we don't feel humble, if we are coming and presenting ourselves in front of Krishna, saying that, Krishna, I don't feel humble, but still I know that I have no other hope other than your mercy. I know my fallen condition, and my only hope is your mercy, Krishna. Please, Allow me to be a servant of the servant of the servant, and in that mood render service to you, which will be pleasing to you. This is the way a sadhaka presents oneself in front of the deity. And when they do that, then Krishna, being Bhavagrahi Janardana, immediately recognizes that mood and gives complete mercy to that particular sadhaka. You know, only a grateful heart can be the true recipient of Krishna's mercy. So we need to understand that not what is gratitude, but also how to develop the attitude of gratitude. Of course, the attitude of gratitude is developed by associating with such devotees who have attitude of gratitude. If we can associate with someone who is having and who is, you know, buzzing, you know, with this special quality of gratitude, if we associate with such devotees, we'll automatically get infected and invested with such qualities. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And it is said that a Vaishnava, they are, you know, because we keep chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we actually are doing this for Cheto Darpana Marjanam, right? We are doing this for cleansing the mirror of our mind. The mirror of our mind has so much dust accumulated from lifetimes and lifetimes that we cannot even see the pure vision of the spirit soul. The image, the reflection of the spirit soul is not visible to us. Therefore, we are misidentifying with this gross body. We are misidentifying ourselves. This is not who we are. This body is not who we are. We are actually, you know, Satchid Ananda. We have the same form as Krishna in quality, but of course not in the same quantity. We are Achintya Bheda Bheda. We are simultaneously one and different from Krishna. So we do have the qualities of Satchid and Ananda in us, but we are not able to see. We are right now seeing Asat, you know, Achit and Nirananda body. A body which is, you know, Asat, which is temporary, which is Achit, which is not conscious, and Nirananda, which is miserable body. That is what we are seeing right now. We are seeing completely opposite of who we actually are. So chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra cleanses the mirror of our mind. And slowly, slowly the dust starts going away. And when that dust starts going away, sometimes we get a glimpse of how Satchitananda, our eternal form, looks like. That is the moment of the aha moments that we experience during japa, the aha moments that we experience during, you know, kirtan, maybe when we are in, you know, kirtan with all the devotees. So in this way, when we are in, you know, we do experience certain glimpses of the aha moment, certain glimpses of our original self. But the purpose is so that we can live in that original self forever. How we can stay high forever. How we can see our actual image all the time when we look into the mirror of our minds. And that will come only by the potency of our japa, the potency of our chanting. So when we keep doing our sadhana, our practices like this again and again and again, then Krishna, he slowly, slowly purifies us. Slowly, slowly purifies us. And that purification will happen, the speed will be with, in tandem with the determination that we have. So once we are developing that attitude of gratitude with, you know, the association of the devotees by the mercy of Krishna, then we are on that platform of Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Otherwise, we are just bhutas. You know, we are just ghosts. You know, trying to be illusioned by some, you know, crazy sense of happiness. But to be on the position of Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, then we really need to develop such devotional qualities. And such devotional qualities come very naturally when we recite such beautiful stotras in the association, the loving association of devotees, when we recite such beautiful stotras for the pleasure of the Lord, when we are sitting and discussing Krishna Katha, Matchitta Madgata Prana, Bodhayanta Parasparam, Tathayantascha Mam Nityam, Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that when we discuss about Krishna in this way, then that's when we get Tushyanti Cha Ramanti. So we are completely satisfied and in bliss when we are discussing about Krishna in the loving association of the devotees. So here, I'd like to share a few sweet pastimes of Lord Jagannath. Actually, before we go into the sweet pastimes of Lord Jagannath, we'll just read the Phalastuti of Jagannath Ashtakam. That what happens if we recite this Jagannath Ashtakam with love and devotion for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, what is the result of that? So it says, Jagannath Ashtakam Punyam Yapathe Prayata Shuchi Sarva Papa Vishuddhatma Vishnu Lokam Sagachati. The self-retrained virtuous soul who recites these 8 verses glorifying Lord Jagannath becomes cleansed of all sins and duly proceeds to Lord Vishnu's abode. Jai Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. So we will just conclude with a few nectarian sweet pastimes of Lord Jagannath. I'll share 2 pastimes. These 2 are very, very dear to me. One is from Jagannath Puri, you know, our Jagannath Baladev and Shubhadra in Jagannath Puri in Nilachal Dham. And the other one will be from Rajapur Dham, from Sri Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Baladev Shubhadra. So the first one from Nilachal Dham is one day in the king's garden, you know, from the king's garden, the king had, you know, beautiful mango orchids, you know, they orchards and orchards of mango trees, you know, were there with the king. And these mangoes were the best in the world. You know, it is said that Bengal and Orissa, they have like the best of mangoes. You know, beautiful, beautiful varieties of mangoes are there, you know. So in this king's palace, in the king's garden, in the summertime when it is the mango season, it was, you know, Lord Jagannath and Balabhadra, both of them especially, they were expecting, oh, today, you know, now it is summertime, mangoes will come. But the mangoes were not coming from the king's garden. Somehow there was a delay. So one day Balabhadra told Jagannath that, you know, it's been so many days, it is time for us to get our mango offering, and somehow or the other, these people are not bringing us our, you know, seasonal mangoes. So tonight, Jagannath, be ready. As soon as the Pandas, they put us to sleep after the last aarti and everything, then we will go. So Jagannath said, okay, Dao, we'll definitely go. You know, Jagannath cannot say no to, you know, Balabhadra. So the last darshan of Jagannath Baladev and Shubhadra and Jagannath Puri, of course in Jagannath Puri there's one thing that we need to know, that nothing happens according to time. You know, there's no fixed time that the Lord wakes up, no fixed time that the Lord eats, no fixed time that the Lord goes to sleep also. Actually, this is the only temple in the entire world that does not close during the day. Lord Jagannath does not sleep during the day. He is open. You know, if he starts opening his altar at 6 o'clock in the morning, say for example, then he is open throughout the entire day, throughout the entire evening, till almost till around 11:30, 12 in the night. Sometimes goes to 12:30, 1 o'clock also in the night. Because what happens is, Jagannath's schedule keeps changing based on the number of offerings that he eats. So say, for example, if he's eating something now, after eating that, one offering went to Lord Jagannath. After he finishes eating, then the Lord washes his mouth, you know, he rinses his hands, and then he has a dress change. The dress is changed, and then by the time, so his hands don't dry out. So by that time his dress is changed, it's time for the next offering. Now what happens is, the delay sometimes happens, is because when the bhoga is, say for example, going from the kitchen and coming to the temple, if somehow there is some kind of a, you know, impurity that happens during in the process, then the entire offering is discarded. They cook again, so the offering process again gets delayed. So like this, you know, and the Pandas, they don't really, you know, have any problem with that. If the offering goes, you know, becomes impure, then they'll just offer some fruits, they'll offer sweets to Jagannath that time, then they'll change his dress again, then again the big Maha offering comes. And then again there is, you know, change of dress, then again big Maha offering comes. So after he eats, he washes his hands, again change of dress, again like this. So this is what Jagannath does all day. He just eats and changes his dress. Eats, changes his dress. So that's what he does the entire day. And sometimes, you know, he feels like dressing up in a opulent way. So then Jagannath, you know, it'll take time because he gets dressed in front of the whole world. They don't close the doors. Even when Jagannath eats, they don't close the door. So Jagannath's doors are never closed throughout the day. You know, they might close just for a brief moment, maybe, you know, just to do something on the altar. But generally, they never close the altar doors during the entire day. And it is said, actually, His Holiness Srila Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj had told us long, long ago that Jagannath is most merciful. You know, his most merciful, you know, presentation of himself is during the last Shayanarti. Because Lord Jagannath is so tired from the whole day of, you know, eating and then again changing dress, eating, again changing dress. Imagine if you just have to do that again and again. So by the end of the day, Jagannath is extremely tired. So when he's tired, he just wants to go and take some rest. So at that time, it is said that, you know, the Lord, because he's so exhausted, the Pandas, they actually give him one big kalash of, you know, fresh water, which is dipped in camphor and sandalwood. And it's a very, very refreshing drink that they offer to Lord Jagannath during this time. And Lord Jagannath is dressed very simply during his, you know, Shayan Vesh, you know. And sometimes he is dressed very simple, but even in that simple outfit, Lord Jagannath looks very, very opulent. You know, and at that time, it is said that when he is drinking that, you know, refreshing drink, at that time, the Pandas say, "Now you start, now you start." Everyone, they just motion like this, that now is the time that Lord Jagannath, if you ask anything, because the Lord is so refreshed, that if you ask anything from him, he will give instant fulfillment of those desires, instant fulfillment of those prayers. So we always make sure, whenever we go to Jagannath Puri, we always make sure that we, at least for one day, we go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath during the Shayanarti. Very, very beautiful. And they actually don't do an arti, they just offer this, you know, camphor and sandalwood water to Lord Jagannath. And they just say, "Now you start offering your prayers, offer your prayers." It's very beautiful. Not many, you know, people are there during this time. And any time between 10:30 to, you know, 1:30, any time between this window is when Lord Jagannath's Shayanarti can happen. So Lord Jagannath is very, very relaxed and, you know, ready to give anything. You know, it's like he's ready to give himself during this particular time of Shayan, just before he's going to sleep. So anyways, Balabhadra told Jagannath that, Jagannath, as soon as today, after we drink and after they, you know, close everything up, don't go to sleep, okay? We are going to go on a mission today. So, mango mission, that is our mission, we are going to go. So Jagannath said, okay, yes, yes, I will not feel sleepy, we will go. So then, as soon as the last Shayan Darshan was over, the doors were closed, the Pandas left from the temple, Balabhadra kind of said, see, Jagannath, I told you not to sleep, but your eyes are closing, let's go, you cannot sleep, let's go, let Subhadra be here, she is too young, we'll bring back something for her, but Subhadra, you stay here, you're a girl, you should not come, so you stay here, we both will go. Jagannath and Baladev, they left the temple and they went straight to the king's orchard. They went to the king's garden where it was full of these mango trees and the mangoes, you know, if you've ever been to a mango grove where, you know, when the mangoes are ripe, it smells intoxicating. It's, you know, ripe mangoes when they are laden, you know, on the trees. The smell is so intoxicating that, you know, the bees and, you know, the parrots and, you know, they get attracted to that. And it's a very, very pleasing kind of an atmosphere that is created in the mango grove during the season time of the mangoes. So Balabhadra and Jagannath, they came inside, you know, the mango tree and then the mango garden, the mango grove, and then, you know, they came below one tree. And then Baladev said, okay, Jagannath, you are young. I am big. I am your elder brother. So I will climb up the tree and you stay here. You take out your chadar, you know, the chadar that you are wearing. You lay it out like this, yeah? And I will keep dropping the mangoes. You collect them in your chadar. Don't let any mango fall on the ground, okay? So collect them all in your chadar. Then I will come down, then we'll eat nicely and we'll take some for Subhadra also. So collect them. Don't let any mango fall on the ground. Jagannath said, yes, yes, done. You climbed. So then Balabhadra started climbing. And we all know Balabhadra doesn't have legs. So the way he was climbing the tree is he was hopping, you know, jumping like this. Doing, doing. He was going up like that, you know. So he climbed to the top branch and he took the mango and he smelled the mango. It was so nice, so tasty. And then he said, Jagannath, ready. And then Jagannath was standing like this with his chadar. And then, top, the mango fell. And then Jagannath saw such a nice, captivating mango, so big, so ripe, so delicious, so tasty it looks. So how would it taste? Jagannath, you know, Jagannath then shouted out from below that, he said, Balabhadra, you eat one up there, I'll eat the one here. You know, I can't wait anymore. And Baladev said, yeah, that's what we'll do. So the second mango Baladev plucked and he started eating it. And then Jagannath started eating that mango. So mango pulp was, you know, all over their face. You know, Balabhadra's white lotus face had become with spots of yellow, orangish yellow. You know, because of all the mango pulp, you know, like this they were eating. And, you know, Jagannath, black lotus face, you know, he had got mangoes all over. Nicely they were eating. So Balabhadra kept dropping. Okay, Jagannath was saying, next, keep coming. And then Jagannath was nicely catching all the mangoes. And then they were nicely eating them. So then Baladev, after some time, he dropped enough mangoes. And then Jagannath, after some time, what happened is he got so busy eating that, you know, he didn't notice that he forgot to catch the mangoes. And some of the mangoes started falling on the ground and making noise. So when mangoes fall on the ground and making noise, then the security, the king's security, the king's guard, you know, he got alert. He woke up from his slumber, you know, he was half asleep. But he woke up and he said, who's there? And then Jagannath got scared. He said, Balabhadra, come down. You know, the security guard is coming, come down. And then, you know, when they came down, but the security was shouting and coming, "Who's there? Who's the thief who has come to the king's garden?" So then Balabhadra and Shaguna, Balabhadra, he came down because that's how he was going to come down without any, Jagannath, Baladev doesn't have legs. So he was just, like that, he was climbing down. He came down, and then both of them, they made like a bundle with all the mangoes, and Jagannath put it behind on his shoulder, and both of them started running. But how is they running? Without legs, no? So they were actually jumping and going away. They were going, toing, toing, toing. That's how they were running. Both the brothers are running away. And what happened is, they had to cross a fence. Because they wanted to get out of the orchard very, very soon, of the grove, the mango grove. They wanted to get out. So Balabhadra, he said, "Okay, Jagannath, no time to go to the main entrance. We have to leave the premises immediately." So Balabhadra, because he's bigger, elder, boy, he just did one long jump from one side of the fence, he came on the other side. And then, Balabhadra is saying, "Jagannath, come, let's go." But then Jagannath, he was, first of all, Jagannath is more chubbier, he's, young, he's more cuddly. So, and he had this, huge weight of the mangoes also with him. So when he said, "Okay, I'm coming, Balabhadra, I'm coming," when he went to make his long jump across the fence, Bichara Jagannath's chadar, a portion of his chadar got torn on the fence, on top of the fence, and a little portion of the chadar, a little piece of the cloth, got attached over. It just stayed torn on the top of the fence. And Jagannath just looked. He said, "Oh, my nice chadar got spoiled." Baladev said, "Are Baba, let's go now. Then the chadar is gone. Now we will also go. Let's get out from here soon." So both the brothers just ran back into the temple. Ran back means jumped back, They just came. They came running back to the temple, and they woke up Subhadra, look what I have for you. So then, Subhadra Devi also ate. They also ate some more, and nicely all three of them slept. They had a very beautiful, like a mango picnic in the middle of the night, that night. So then, early morning, the guard who was there in that mango grove, he found out that, there have been some thieves who came here to this particular tree. This is the best tree in the entire grove. And they came here, and look how many mangoes they have eaten. All the mango seeds are strewn all over. So much mess these people have created, these thieves, and they have stolen also and taken. Hardly any mangoes there left on the tree. So who were these thieves? The king was notified. So the king got very angry that this mangoes, coming from this particular garden, they are meant only for Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. Who was this thief in Puri who came and stole the mangoes like this? This is not done. Investigation needs to be done. So then, the detectives were spread out. They started, seeing various footprints. They couldn't find any footprints. They could only find base prints. Like as if someone has, impressed upon the ground, dhum, like this. And then after some time, there's another dhum. So they were thinking, is it like some kind of a pillar? Who is this kind of thief who doesn't even have footprints? Who is this? And then when they came near the fence, that's when they saw a piece of the chadar. So when it was presented in front of the king was like, "Oh, that means this thief not only stole mangoes, but he has also stolen," because the king could immediately recognize that this is Lord Jagannath's chadar. It is a piece of cloth from Jagannath's chadar. So then, he said, "Oh, the thief must have gone inside the temple and he has stolen Jagannath's chadar also." But definitely, this is like a, out of this world thief. Something has to be done. So then that day in the morning, this was all happening early in the morning. So that day in the morning, you know, when they opened the temple door and, you know, they said, you know, they have to make a, the king came that day for darshan and he said, I have to make special appeal to Lord Jagannath that he can empower me to catch that thief. Who has this audacity to not only steal Lord Jagannath's mangoes, but also to steal Lord Jagannath's chadar? Who did this? So as soon as the doors opened to the main Garbha Mandir of Lord Jagannath, everyone was stunned because they saw Jagannath Baladev Subhadra's face filled with mango pulp, then mango seeds and mango skins strewn all over the floor. You know, Jagannath's Garbha Mandir, it is said that the floor is made of shalagram shilas. So, you know, that black floor was completely strewn with, you know, mango seeds and mango skin, and Jagannath Baladev Subhadra's faces all around their mouth was filled with mango pulp, and Jagannath's chadar was torn. So the king and all the pandas, they understood that here is the Mahachor, that they are the chor, they are the thief who had come into the garden to steal the mangoes. Such sweet nectarian pastimes of Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Mai Ki Jai. And there's one more pastime I'd like to share. This is from Rajapur Jagannath. And Rajapur, of course, I did share the pastime of their eating jackfruit, which is very similar to, you know, Puri Jagannath eating of mangoes. So Mayapur Jagannath, they went and ate jackfruit, ripe jackfruit. But this was another time when one time what happened is that the pujari, you know, when the worship of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra in Rajapur had just been handed over to ISKCON. This is in the early 80s when the worship was handed over. At that time, there was not, you know, the temple that we see today, that was not constructed. It was all, you know, small, like a hut where, you know, under the banyan tree where right now we have the, you know, Mahadev, Shivalinga is there. Right over there is where there used to be a little hut where Jagannath Baladev Subhadra would stay. And what would be done is that the Rajbhog that used to be cooked in Mayapur Chandradai Mandir, in the ISKCON temple, at that time they would cook extra for Jagannath also. And one pujari, in a cycle, he would pack up all the bhoga in a tiffin carrier, and he would take the plate, he would take tulasi leaves, he'd take everything, water, all that, and he would, you know, drive his bicycle, and he would go from Mayapur Chandradai Mandir to Rajapur Jagannath Mandir. Because around that area, there was, you know, it's all Mohammedan area, Muslim area, so not many things were available. It was very deserted kind of area at that time. So this pujari, you know, he would go and he would make this offering. So Jagannath Baladev Subhadra would get cooked meal only one time a day, the main Rajbhog offering in the afternoon. That's what they would get. And the rest of the time they would get fruits and sweets like that. So that's how their service was getting done. So one day this particular pujari of Jagannath, he had a dream that he was sleeping and suddenly he saw that Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, they were walking through the fields. You know, those of you who've seen Rajapur Jagannath, from the back area where Pallavacha Sridhar's, you know, kutir is there, from that area there's a back road connecting to go to Mayapur Chandradai Mandir. So Jagannath Baladev Subhadra were walking through the field, through this particular tract of land, and they were going towards Mayapur Chandradai Mandir. So this pujari, he ran behind them and said, where are you going? Jagannath, where are you going? So then Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, this is the past time that how Pankajangri Prabhu explained it, so I'm saying it as it is, that you have heard from him. So he said that, Jagannath said that we are very, very unhappy that whatever Radha Madhav are eating, they are eating, you know, what they are eating in the afternoon, only that we are getting here. But they are getting to eat so much more, and we are eating only fruits and sweets the rest of the time. So we are very unhappy over here. We are going there to Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir, and we are going to Jayapataka Maharaj to go and complain to him that why we are also not getting proper bhoga. We are going and complaining over there. We are going there to complain to him. So then this pujari begged at Jagannath's lotus feet and said, please, please, Jagannath, don't do this. You don't go there. You come back here, and I promise we will make sure that, you know, your demands will be fulfilled. I'll take your complaint to Jayapataka Maharaj. So then the very next day, the pujari came and told Jayapataka Maharaj that this is the kind of dream that he had. And immediately, Srila Jayapataka Maharaj actually made arrangements of a kitchen and, you know, facility where fresh bhoga was made, you know, like chappan bhoga from that very day started getting offered to Lord Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra. So it is said, you know, that when we go to Vrindavan, we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we, in Vrindavan, we worship the Lord by doing parikrama, by, you know, reciting so many different stotras, by, you know, doing so many different kinds of sadhana and so many different other kinds of processes of devotional service. We please Krishna in Vrindavan. In Mayapur, it is as simple as to please Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Is very simple. That Mahaprabhu, if you just go and lie down in Mayapur, if you just go and sleep in Mayapur, Gauranga Mahaprabhu thinks that we are offering obeisances. So that is Audarya Dham. But the way to serve Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri is that we should honor their Mahaprasad. So if we just, you know, honor Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, because Lord Jagannath is an eater, you know, he loves to eat. So if we can, you know, just go to Jagannath Puri, we should serve the Supreme Lord Jagannath there by eating and honoring their Mahaprasad. That is the way that we can please Lord Jagannath, by honoring the Mahaprasad. So that is why Lord Jagannath, for him to eat is, you know, he always makes arrangements around his eating. You know, it's very, very sweet, very nectarian. And so today we'll end here this Sri Jagannath Ashtakam. Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrind Ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Satanath Krivanande, Hari Hari Bol. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
हरे कृष्ण माता जी कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम श्री प्रभुपाद श्री गुरुदेव की जय माता जी एस इज वंडरफुल नेक्टर इन क्लास स्पेशली जगन्नाथ इज ईटिंग मैंगो जगन्नाथ एंड बलदेव इज ईटिंग मैंगो इन द सेकंड पास टाइम दे यू आर एक्सप्लेनिंग दैट दे आर नॉट एबल जगन्नाथ बलराम जी एंड सुभद्रा रानी इज वॉकिंग बिकॉज that offering only one time, Mataji. It's just too hard. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. After completing class, can you please see Jagannath Dastakam if it is possible, Mataji? Then but pranam. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Does anyone else have any questions or requests or reflections?
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah, there were very amusing stories. I had a question because I recently saw a picture of a large Jagannath deity, and I can't say for sure which temple it is, but from the context, I gather that it might be the Chicago Temple. But anyway, the point is that this deity of Jagannath has his typical form, you know, with the exception that he has toes and fingers.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so I was just wondering, you know, is this actually a bona fide deity?
Well, even in Jagannath Puri, on one of the days of the Rath Yatra, actually, the day that Lord Jagannath wears the Shona Vesh, Shona Vesh means the golden Vesha, where he wears so much jewelry, you know, I think it's like 1,000 kgs of gold jewelry that Lord Jagannath wears. He actually has two hands, you know, holding Shankha and Chakra, and it's actually his fingers, you know, which is made of gold that they put around his, you know, arms, you know, his extended arms like that. So they put like a, you know, a golden hand with fingers holding the Shankha and Chakra in one hand, and they put two lotus feet also, which is made of gold. So this is bona fide as, you know, not as a regular feature, but just as a, you know, a particular kind of darshan, a specific kind of a darshan that Lord Jagannath gives during the Rath Yatra time, and also during the 21 days of Chandan Yatra, when the Chandan Yatra goes on, when it starts on Akshaya Tritiya day. And for 21 days, Lord Jagannath dresses in different avatars, in different leelas, you know, that he manifests. So he dresses one day as Kaliya, you know, Kaliya Krishna, that, you know, there's a Kaliya snake that is put near Jagannath, and, you know, he's dressed as Krishna that day. So there are different vishas that is done on Lord Jagannath, which is specific to a particular, you know, occasion, specific to a particular festival, so, but not as a regular feature. So that's what I can say.
Mm-hmm. And you said, where is this done?
Hmm?
You said, where is this done? In what place?
Many temples around the world do it
with
Lord Jagannath, but it's specifically done in Jagannath Puri, in Nilachal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Kalasudha Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Very, very beautiful class, Mataji. Today I'm in Dallas and I'm going to go to Rath Yatra with your class. I'm in so mood of, you know, more joyous mood to go to Rath Yatra. Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Mataji. And the past tense you narrate and with your expressions that you give online. So beautiful, Mataji. I could see in front of my eyes. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You are very fortunate to go to, you know, Rath Yatra in Dallas of Lord Jagannath. It is said that, you know, when we are on our deathbed, our entire life, you know, goes in front of our eyes like a camera reel, you know. It goes in front of our eyes. But that moment, if any moment in our life, if we have ever pulled the ratha of Lord Jagannath, the chariot of Lord Jagannath, then that moment, you know, when we come to that moment of our life, then that reel of our life, there is a pause button. And while, you know, on our deathbed, we get to see the sweet smiling face of Lord Jagannath. So that is the mercy of Lord Jagannath that Jagannath gives, you know, for those who pull the Rath Yatra cart very lovingly. And Lord Jagannath gives them darshan. So please, you know, when you pull the chariot today, please remember all of us and pray for all of us to Lord Jagannath.
Sure, Mataji, definitely. Thank you so much. Vrinda was so excited to do it. She loved it. That's why we even went to the New Orleans last time in December. And she loves to go Rath Yatra, Mataji. She's always, I want to go.
3D is what she sings always.
Thank you. Thank you. So I have an online question. We are chanting for Chaito Darpana Marjanam. Lord is purifying our heart, but how can we be saved? How can we save whatever extent it's purifying by Lord from again contaminating it from material world? Yes, very good question. We have to make sure that our, Chaito Darpana Marjanam is not like Kunjara Shauchavat. You know, Kunjara Shauchavat is like how an elephant takes bath. When an elephant takes bath, he'll stay for hours together in the nice waterfall, in the nice river. The elephant will take bath for hours together inside the water. And then as soon as it comes out, it just takes sand from the shores and just puts all over himself. So Srila Prabhupada says that our prayaschitta, or our, when we feel regret, or when we want to, atone for our actions, our sinful reactions, then, atonement should not be done in like the elephant's taking bath, which means that if we are atoning for a particular activity that we have done, we know that we have done that wrong, then we should make sure that we don't repeat it again. At least let us try to do that. So, but that is in that regard. But then the question that you are asking is that how can we ensure that there is no dust settling again on the mirror when it is getting mirror of our mind? So that can happen only by constant chanting. Only by constant chanting and never giving up the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the chanting of the holy names, can we assure that, we will not, again start accumulating dust. As soon as we stop chanting, as soon as we leave from the association of devotees, then the mirror of our mind will again start accumulating dust. So we have to always keep chanting, keep performing our sadhana, that so that we never again start collecting dust. And that dust can also come if we are getting slackened in our devotional practices, in the sense that if we become, it's okay if I do something. It's okay if I become, less cautious about certain things. We should be all, spiritual life means walking on the sharp edge of a razor, Srila Prabhupada says. That even if we slip for even a moment, we can have a dangerous cut. So we have to be always mindful that, mindful of following the, and taking care of the 10 offenses to the holy names, being very respectful to devotees, always being in a mood of, humility and service to others. So when we are doing all of that and staying in the association of devotees, as long as we are doing that, then we are safe, But as soon as we stop any of these activities, then there is the danger of starting to accumulate dust again in the mirror of our mind. So I hope that answers your question, Swati.
Hello, Anya Kumar Singh. And I was asking about why do Subhadram, I don't have hands.
Can you repeat that?
I'm Chaitanya Kumar Singh. And I'm asking about why do Subhadrav, I don't have hands.
Why Jagannath doesn't have hands? Sri Chaitanya.
Subhadramai.
Huh?
Subhadramai.
Sorry, I'm not able to understand.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, she is asking why Subhadramai don't have hands.
Oh. Why Subhadramai doesn't have hands? Okay. Sri Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, beta. So the reason why Subhadramai doesn't have hands is because Subhadramai was listening to the stories and the pastimes of Krishna that Jashoda Maya was narrating, no? So she was hearing from the very beginning. You know, she heard all Putana Leela. She heard how Krishna killed Shakatachura. Then how Krishna, you know, Trinavarta he killed. So many demons. So from the beginning, Subhadra Mai was listening to everything. So by the time Jagannath and Baladev came, Subhadra Mai was already shriveled up like this. So her hands had already, you know, when you are scared, how do you sit? You sit like this, no? Then at that time, your mummy will also not be able to see, Are, Shri Chaitanya, where is your hand? Where's your leg? Because you are sitting like this. So your hands and legs are not seen. So Subhadra Devi also, when she was mesmerized, she was so astonished to see and hear about, you know, how beautiful pastimes her brothers have done. In that astonishment, she was fully shriveled up. Her hands and legs had all gone inside. That is the reason why. Okay?
Okay.
Does that answer your question better?
Thank you.
You're welcome, Beta. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. It was such an enlivening class. It is so sweet to watch you also with all your expressions. It's so animated. Very beautiful. With the pastimes especially. Mataji, I had a question. So this Sri Jagannashtakam, Jagannathashtakam was written by Shankaracharya, right? So
Adi Shankaracharya.
Yes. So at what stage, in what condition, in what mood, like, did he actually, he's known to be the greatest Mayavadi. So how
For this, actually, I need an entire seminar. But Adi Shankaracharya is none other than Lord Shiva. You know, he is Param Vaishnav. Adi Shankaracharya is, just to explain it to you in a very brief way, is, you know, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, what happened is that people started becoming, you know, very irreligious. You know, they started, you know, what they started doing is that based on religious, you know, giving the example of the verdict of the Vedas, they started doing animal slaughter, but just to satisfy their tongue. You know, they started misutilizing the interpretations of the Vedas. They started taking only half the aspects of the Vedas and not the entire aspect. So when that was happening, they, you know, this was actually an entire cycle of events that happened to bring the, or to set the stage for the coming of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first in this line to, you know, come in for this cycle was Buddha. Buddha, who is the ninth incarnation, the ninth Leela avatar of Krishna. So, but Buddha, he came and what was his teaching? Bedna maniya buddha hoilo nastik. Buddha came and said, stop following the Vedas. That was what Buddha taught. That ahimsa. You know, because people were, you know, utilizing the, you know, the in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas where animal slaughter has been recommended. But it has been recommended for certain purposes, certain times, certain reasons. So people started neglecting all of that. And just by saying that, oh, it's said in the Vedas, let's do animal slaughter. People were doing animal slaughter just for satisfying their tongue. So when this was happening, to bring back the society back in place, Lord Buddha first came. And he came and told the people that just stop following the Vedas. Don't follow the Vedas. And practice ahimsa. So that was the teachings of Buddha. So then, he said, now, you know, Buddha came and said, don't follow the Vedas, you know, become nastik. Just, you know, give up the Vedas. So then came Adi Shankaracharya. Adi Shankaracharya is none other than Lord Shiva himself. So Lord Shiva, when he came, he started stressing on the Mayavad aspect of God.
okay, that, you know, yes, we should, you know, don't completely disregard the Vedas, but at least focus on these parts of the Vedas. That was what was the teachings of Adi Shankaracharya. But Adi Shankaracharya, because he is, you know, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, that is why Adi Shankaracharya, you know, had this beautiful Jagannath Ashtakam that he wrote. He also, you know, taught about, you know, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Muramate. He also gave this, you know. So, Shankaracharya's teachings are like this. And then came, you know, different other Acharyas actually came, who came and said that, okay, Shankaracharya said, you know, impersonalist and Mayavad philosophy, now we are talking about only personal philosophy. What Shankaracharya said, don't regard that. Regard personalist side of God was starting to getting, you know, propagated by, especially by Madhavendra Puri and all of them. So these were the three main personalities who came to turn back to society, and in preparation of Lord Chaitanya, who came and said that Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. That yes, we are, you know, like Adi Shankaracharya's teachings are, that we are equivalent to God. We are simultaneously one with God. That was Adi Shankaracharya's teaching. And Madhavendra Puri's teachings were, you know, and Madhvacharya's teachings were, that no, we are distinct. That there is God, there is Bhagavan, and we are the living entity. That is our distinction. That was the teaching of Madhvacharya. And Mahaprabhu came and he combined both of them. He said that we are simultaneously one and different from God. We are one in quality but different in quantity. So this was the entire, you know, scenario of events that happened to bring the society back, so that, you know, when Mahaprabhu comes to present this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, that the people of the society would be ready to accept this philosophy. So this was an entire workaround in the master plan of events. So I hope that answers your question, Indu.
Yes, Mataji. Yes. So it's a sequence of events. It's actually one is building on top of the other and top of the other and top of the other. And we should not see them as separate, but we do.
Yes. We have to see it in its entirety. Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Does anyone else have any questions? Okay. Well, Mataji, I had a few questions, and one was very silly. Okay, and you could quickly explain this. Okay, so when Jagannath and Baladev were trying to go to the mango orchard, why did they decide that they would use this form and they would just go hopping and hopping? I mean, it's so difficult to reach the place, to get on the tree. Why couldn't they just manifest in a form that, okay, it's easy for me to walk, or I can fly, or something else?
Because Jagannath, you know, they want to experience things in their own way. Like, for example, for Krishna, you know, he says, the reason for Krishna's appearance is paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. But for Krishna, I mean, to kill Ravana or to kill Kamsa, he doesn't really need to come. He is present in their own heart as Paramatma. So by Krishna's just his desire, he can just make their heart stop and boom, they're done, they're gone. Why does Krishna need to come and undergo so much austerity of getting, you know, Sita Devi kidnapped, then building that bridge, then going to, you know, have such a big battle, and then finally then killing Ravana. Then even in time of Krishna, that, you know, the way he killed Kamsa. Why did Krishna have to do all that? Because it is said that Krishna also gets the itching in his hands to fight. He likes to fight. Just like even we have this tendency, na, that in minute sense we have it also, that we like to fight, we like to argue, we like to get into a, you know, fist match and all that. Because that quality is coming from Krishna, and Krishna has that quality in its absolute sense. So Krishna also feels like having a duet match sometimes. And who more qualified than his own associates to actually be in a combat, you know, battle with Krishna? So that is why Krishna does that. And similarly, you know, as Lord Jagannath, you know, he comes and does these kind of leelas. He doesn't, you know, he could have inspired the king to send the mangoes into the temple next day. He didn't have to go, you know, forget about manifesting his legs. He didn't even have to go to the orchard. But, you know, Hindi mein ek kahawat hai that aam churake khane ka maza kuch aur hi hota hai. You know, and when you steal mangoes and when you eat those stolen mangoes, the taste is very different. It's heavenly. So Jagannath wanted to experience that taste, that, you know, what is it of, you know, stolen mangoes that has so much of taste, you know, that you are stealing, you are plucking the mangoes and you are eating. And Jagannath wanted to experience it as himself, you know. So that is the reason why he manifested this kind of pastime.
Yes, Mataji.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much. Okay, and final, so sorry, just one more question is, so, like you said, if Jagannath or Lord Krishna wills, then we would, I mean, he can do anything to us, right? So same way, even when we go to the temple and we take out this wish list, can't he, because just like how he changed what Kumbhakarna wanted to ask for, he wanted to ask for a better boon than just sleeping 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same way, he can also make us only ask for what he really wants from us, right?
Mm. Yes. Then where is the free will? You see, love has to be voluntary. You cannot point a gun and, you know, keep a gun at someone's temple and say, love me. That person will say, yes, yes, I love you. But that love is out of fear. It's not out of love. It's not voluntary. So Krishna, if he wants, he can also, he could have, you know, like even with our own children, when we are, you know, disciplining our children, when we keep telling them, no, 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 you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, then the child keeps saying, no, 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 I want to do the other thing only, right opposite thing. Then what do? We let the child have their way for once. And then, you know, when they realize that, no, this is not what they expected, then they normally, you know, they just say, okay, no, this is not what I want. So therefore they come back to the parents and say, well, what you were saying is right. Or at least when they grow up, they realize, okay, you forced me to go to school. I didn't want to go to school, but I thank you for forcing me to go to school. You know? So similarly, Krishna is our dearmost well-wisher. He is our Surida. He is our greatest well-wisher. So Krishna also has tried to explain to us lovingly that, no, no, don't go to this material world. It's a place of misery. It's a place of suffering. Don't go. You will be miserable there. But we were like, no, 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 we want to go. We want to go. I want to go and enjoy over there. So Krishna said, fine, go. Try it out yourself. And now when we are in this material world, we are realizing that it's not worth it at all. Krishna, I did not listen to you, but now I want to listen to you. So therefore, please take me back, O Krishna. But that is voluntary. So surrender, love comes voluntary. You cannot force that. You cannot take that free will away from a person and say that you love me, because that kind of, you know, demand will just be very short-lived, you know, if it is not happening voluntarily. So Krishna doesn't want our love. He doesn't really, you know, he has, you know, like we are just 1/4 of the population who are here in this material world. Krishna is very happy with the rest of the 3/4 of the population who are with him in the spiritual world, who are serving him with so much of love and devotion. But he does miss us. He definitely misses us. And he definitely wants our love, but that love should be voluntary, cannot be forced.
Yes,
Does that answer your question?
Yes, Mataji. Yes. Thank you so much, Mataji.
And just wanted to make another comment that your questions are always far out. So never say that your questions are silly, because I always feel that you have very, very deep, you know, questions, that it comes from a very deep place in your heart, you know, because of your deep attachment to the holy name. Krishna inspires you to ask these questions. So please keep asking such questions, which will benefit everyone and definitely me. So thank you. Thank you for these.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. If there's no more questions, I just will honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request, if that's okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanvad Pranam Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much. I really liked the last point you were making. That, you know, it's about free will, and love is a two-way street. It has to come from us to really, for Krishna to really taste it in full. A question in regards to when you were saying that we come to the material world. Mataji, like, I mean, from what we read in Bhagavatam, spiritual world seems so perfect. The material world is like the exact, is a perverted reflection, so it has so many problems. But the problems seem to create opportunities to serve the devotees, to serve the Vaishnavas. So, if these problems are there in the material world, and we are, and they help us to do service, isn't it, in my neophyte mind, it seems like it's a better thing to stay here and keep serving, because in the spiritual world, it's perfect. So there, we may not get a chance to do service. I mean, that this is my neophyte understanding. If you could clarify and correct me.
Very nice question. May I know your name?
Mataji, this is Vineet. I'm a student in Georgia Tech in Atlanta.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Very nice question. Well, yes, I would say that your understanding is partially correct. that in the sense that, yes, this material world does give us an opportunity to render such, you know, precious service. But we also need to understand that in the spiritual world, it's not that we are just happy and blissful all the time and we are not doing anything. No. In the spiritual world, we are actually busier than here. You know, here it is sometimes, you know, there is those aha moments that I was describing today, that sometimes those, you know, service opportunities are created. And we feel, oh, aha, it's so nice, it's so blissful to be able to do these services. And it's, you know, these are sometimes these bubbles that come up. You know, so these are moments of the spiritual world which are revealed. But actually when we are in the spiritual world, every moment is such an opportunity to render service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That is the beauty of the spiritual world. And that is why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, or the acharyas, our pure devotees, our Vartaman ISKCON, you know, Guru Vrindas, we see them, they are actually Nitya Siddhas. You know, they are, you know, here in this world, but every moment they are, you know, experiencing the service that they render in the spiritual world. They are not having to deal with anything mundane, although they are in this material world. That's why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says in one of his Vaishnava songs, he says that, Jedino grihete bhojano dekhi, grihete goloko bhai. Means, the day that I come home and I see my wife, my children, so beautifully engaged in the service of Krishna, that home is actually Goloka Vrindavan. But that home, to be able to stay on the level of Goloka Vrindavan, that becomes challenging in the material world. You know, because we have so many other distractions that go on. But in the spiritual world, it's like, you know, that aha moment that we are experiencing sometimes here in the material world, that aha moment is there all the time. And we are rendering service to Radha and Krishna all the time in the loving association of devotees. And there is, you know, a healthy competition. The competition is that who can serve better? It is not for bringing down the other person and, you know, showing that, yes, I can serve better. No. In the spiritual world, the competition is that, oh, if you are able to please Krishna better, go. I'll make arrangements so that you can serve Krishna better. The element of envy is not existing in the spiritual world. It is just pure, unmotivated, unadulterated, uninterrupted, pure service to Krishna for the pleasure of Krishna. That is what is there in the spiritual world, which we get glimpses of here in this material world. So does that answer your question?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Mataji. Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Very nice question. Very nice question. Thank you. Any more questions? All right. So if there's no more questions, I'll quickly honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request. And then, Indu, you can go ahead and end the call. So for you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, here's the first words of Sri Jagannath Ashtakam. Kadachit kalinditata vipina sangeeta taravo mudabhiri narivadana kamala swada madhupaha rama shambhu brahma marapati ganesha archita pado jagannatha swami Nayana Pathagami Bhavato Me Jai Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for the very enlightening class, very sweet pastimes. We look forward to your association again. I'd like to end by chanting obeisances to everyone, giving obeisances to everyone and Mataji. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
Thank you all so much. Have a good day.